so they were excited to do that, and so they left pretty early this morning. And then I was supposed to have my middle daughter, my wife, back with me today, but weather decided they're going to stay in Winnipeg again last night. And so I think that I said to Candace, one of the things I said, okay, fine, you're doing this, but now you owe me a Costco trip. And I kind of sent her my Costco wish list. If you're going to stay in Winnipeg a little bit further, you got to go to Costco and get me some things that I can only get at Costco. And so that'll be my part of the bargain. But we've been talking for just a couple weeks about how it is that we have a call as Christians, as Christ followers, to share the good news, the gospel, the good news that we received, the good news that you know took us from the life that we had to the life that we have now. And it's been amazing for us, it's been life-changing for us, but we all have a call. Jesus has sent each and every one of us, and how we've been using the words of Paul that he shared in 2 Corinthians 5, and I'm going to read these verses to you, but it's about this message of reconciliation. So God's given us this task. This is our job, this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we're Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. And we talked about last week, and a little bit of a funny illustration, how, in the words of John Lennon, the war is over, right? That's the good news, that we're no longer enemies of God. You and I aren't enemies of God. God is our friend. But God is also not the enemy of people who don't know him yet. They might think that he's their enemy, but he has a desire to be their friend. And this enmity that used to be between man and God is no longer there. They just have to receive his love. They just have to receive the gift and the sacrifice that he made for them, and they'll be fully reconciled and fully restored to him. And that is a good message to share, right? If you have to be someone who has the job of sharing bad news, that's not so fun. But when you get to share good news with someone, when you get to share news with them that can just change their life and revolutionize how they see life and give them mission and purpose and vision and joy for living, that's not so hard, is it? That's good news. And so it's the Bible talks about how beautiful the feet are them that bring good news. And again, that's not talking about good-looking feet. It's talking about the joy that comes receiving good news, but also the joy that comes in being the messenger who gets to bring good news. Let's go to Luke 10 again. This is a verse that we shared last week, but we want to just touch on it again here. Luke 10, verse 1. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. And these were his instructions. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his field. And we talked about last week how when God calls you, he equips you. He doesn't ask you to do something but not give you the tools and the empowerment and the supernatural ability to do that. This is a conversation that, in a little bit of a different context, but sometimes I have this conversation with my children when we're talking about doing a task and, ask them to do something, and then they might try and convince me that they're not able to do that. And so then I get to have the conversation that, well, if I'm asking you to do it, you can do it. You have the ability to do it. Like, you have everything that you need to do this. But we sometimes have those conversations with the Lord, don't we? So he asks us to do something, and oftentimes, our response is like Moses, like we talked about last week. Well, what if they don't believe me? And what if I mess up my words and stumble over my words? And what if this? And what if that? And these are the conversations that we have with the Lord when he's asking us to do something that we're fully qualified and fully able to do, because he's the one who gives us the power to do the things that he asks. He's just looking for us to be available and willing to do what he's asking. Amen? So God chooses people like you and I, workers, to bring in the harvest of souls. How do we know if there's more workers required to bring in the harvest of souls? Well, if there's people around here, if there's people in our world that need Jesus, more workers are required. Plain and simple. More workers are required till every last soul is brought in to Christ, right? Till the harvest is fully brought in, more people are required. I had a conversation once with a church planter, I can't remember what city that they were planning a church in. It might have been Calgary. But they were having a conversation with another pastor there, and this pastor said, really, you're thinking of planting a church in Calgary? There's lots of churches there already. And this guy has such a, just a clear mandate from the Lord. He goes, well, is there still unsaved people in Calgary? Because if there's people that need to hear Jesus, then we need more churches, right? And if there's harvest that needs to be brought in, we need more workers. Amen. As I was talking about, Dad and I, one of the things in our to-do list, well, it's probably going to be more me than Dad, if I'm really being honest. But in my mind, I'm partnering with him anyway. We got landscaping to do this year. And I have not done a lot of landscaping. And so, I know, Bob, you've planted some lawn in some years past. You probably have some advice for me. I do have a cedar. So I do have one piece of equipment. I don't have a lawn roller yet. I don't have something to kind of like pull over my lawn and kind of rake it smooth or harrow it. I'm going to have to work on that. But there's this like a whole process. And when I'm doing something new that I haven't done before, I tend to maybe over-research a little bit. And so YouTube has been my friend. And so like if you go on some of my, if you were to log on my YouTube channel or use my login, you'd get like recommended videos. And they'd be like lawn care videos and like how to plant beautiful lawns. And you're like, what? Why is Pastor Ken reading so much about lawns and planting grass? Well, because that's what I got to figure out. I got to get this right? Roundup Sunday is like probably going to be at our place in September. We want to have lawn this year, not dirt for you guys to put your lawn chairs in, right? So this is the whole thing that we're looking at. Well, how do we prepare? And we need to replant some of our lawn. Some of that grass probably hasn't seen any fresh seeds since about 1978 or 1980, since it was first planted. And so we're going to like till it up and prepare it and do a bunch of things. But there's all kinds of factors, right? There's the time of year. What's the best time of year? And perhaps we should have done it last fall, but we're going to do it in the spring. But I have to wait for the right temperature, right? And I'm going to look at the forecast and, Lord willing, plant the lawn when some rain is coming, because we have a lot of lawn, and I'm not sure I'm able to have sprinklers on all the right places where I need to. And so we're going to need the Lord's help with this thing. And I'm looking at all these factors and planning it out. But the thing is, I can do all the research, and Dad and I, we can talk to the guys at Early Seeds, and we did, and they gave us like a pamphlet, like, this is the best way to plant this lawn seed in the whole bit. So we can research it, and we can have it all figured out. But we have to actually get outside and do something with that knowledge that we have, right? With if we take it all in, and we just kind of think about it and think, well, put our to-do list together, and don't actually take action and get outside as soon as we're able, as soon as the ground is dried and thawed, and start doing our preparation, we're not going to have that lawn later on in the year. And how many times as believers do we see people around us that don't need Jesus, that need Jesus, that don't have a relationship with Jesus, and we think, well, they're going through a tough time. That's a tough thing that they're experiencing right now. If they knew Jesus, he could be a strength, and he could help carry them through that. Or, whatever the thoughts are that go through our minds when we see people who don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you when you're having those thoughts. I believe one of the things that the Lord is calling us to do, when we notice the harvest of souls that's in our community, that's the call to get outside and do something about it. What do you mean get outside? Well, get outside these four walls, right? We need to bring the harvest in. The harvest doesn't come in by itself. We're called as believers to bring the harvest in. That means we have to go out to bring it in, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is how is it that we bring the harvest in. And we're going to talk about some of the other spiritual processes that happen even before the harvest takes place as well. And so I believe that in this time right now, for myself personally, but not just myself personally, I believe the Lord is speaking to us just a fresh emphasis on bringing in the harvest and opening our eyes to people around us that need reconciliation, people that are ready to hear the good news, people that they might not know what the good news is, but they're ready for change, they're ready for something different. They need some good news in their lives. And so the Lord's preparing us, and I believe he's preparing them as well. In 1 Corinthians, now we have Paul using another one of those agricultural examples again. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul says, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. For we're both God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. So it's not just the work of taking in the harvest that needs to happen, but you can see here there's planting and there's watering, and I would add to that there's preparation as well. There's preparing of the soil, There's planting and watering. There's a whole spiritual process that even happens before the harvest takes place. Ground needs to be prepared. So that's spiritual soil, right? The hearts and certainly the Holy Spirit is absolutely paramount in that. He's the one that does the work. But sometimes Holy Spirit asks us to partner with Him to help prepare people's hearts. And the seed can be planted, and it needs to be watered. And then when the Lord causes it to grow, then we're ready for harvest. The harvest needs to be brought in. It's interesting, however, I often, when I'm thinking about soul winning or evangelism or sharing the gospel, sometimes, and if it happens to me, it's possible that it might happen to you, that we can feel a pressure like we have to make this happen. You know, that well, the Lord's calling me to share the gospel. I can feel that tug, but you know, we think that we have to, if we're going to use a baseball illustration, we think that we have to hit a home run. Now, I don't know a lot about baseball. My father-in-law, Bill, for example, knows a lot more about baseball than I do. Do you know that he was like a little league champion like many years ago in the city of Arden? Ask Bill for that. He's got a great picture many years ago. He was like, they were like provincial champions, right? Right? Arden, like, it was like 1,200 people or something like that. Oh, yeah, 171. Bill's got a rich baseball history. Anyway, you talk to him about his championship years. But he really does know more about baseball than I do. But I know enough to know that if you try and hit, and if a team tries to only hit home runs every time they come to the plate, you know, just take that big swing to try and hit a home run every single at-bat, they're going to strike out a lot more than they would want to. And chances are they wouldn't win as many games as they want to win. So home runs are great. Sometimes they push you over the top. But oftentimes, what's needed is a bunt. Sometimes even a walk is the right play. Oftentimes, a single or a double is the hit that's needed to just, you know, the saver play to move the runners around the bases. And I think in this baseball analogy, there's something for us that we need to remember that when God calls us to share the gospel, it's not up to us to hit a home run every time. Right? I'm going to go so far as it's not even up to us to hit a single or a double. He just wants us to swing the bat, right? If we're just willing to swing the bat and be obedient, He'll do the work. He'll make the contact. He'll make the connection. He'll give it momentum, and He'll move things along in a way that we would not be able to do under our own strength. And that takes the pressure off, guys, because we're, you know, it's not a zero-sum game. It's not like, you know, if this person, after me sharing the gospel with them for 5 minutes and taking them through the Romans road, you know, if they don't receive Jesus, I've failed somehow. I've struck out. It's not that at all, right? There's ground that needs to be prepared. There's seed that needs to be sown. There's seed that needs to be watered. But the Lord does the work. And that takes the pressure off. That means that all God's looking for is just us to be willing to be involved at whatever stage He's asking us to be involved in. And we partner with Him, and He does the work. That's encouraging for us. You know, I think sometimes that God is asking us just to prepare the spiritual ground of someone's heart. What does that mean, to prepare the spiritual ground? You know what? It might just be softening their hearts with a smile or an act of kindness. Maybe they think that believers that were stuck up or stuffy or uninvolved or uninterested, and maybe they also have that view of our Heavenly Father. So it could be just an act of kindness or just a small little thing that reveals the heart of the Father to those people. And really? God's like that? He thinks of me that way? You know, it might be just a small phrase or an example of something that happens in your day that you get to share with something. There's all kinds of little things that can prepare hearts and plant seeds. The Holy Spirit's going to tell us what to say in that moment, right? He's going to give us the right thing to say. But there's always, 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 if we're open to it, going to be opportunities to plant seeds, to water seeds. What does it mean to water a seed? That means someone else has planted a seed. And maybe in a conversation with someone, you find out that the seed has been planted in their hearts. Maybe someone else has been talking about spiritual things. And you might get a chance to affirm that. You might get a chance to say, yeah, I found that to be true in my life as well. And then maybe the Holy Spirit will add something to it that can strengthen that seed and help it. You know, when a seed is watered, that helps the roots grow down and that plant to actually, you know, start getting more and more nourishment. And the heat, what is the heat that might come and try and steal the word? Well, that's, you know, that's doubts and fears and skepticism that's going to try and to kill that seed and kill that young plant, right? And so we want to put the water of the word on that. We want to, if we uncover someone else who's done some planting, we want to dive in there and throw some water on that seed to make it stronger, make sure that that young plant takes deep root. I was thinking that one of the things that's happening in our world right now, and it's, you cannot get away from it if you're on the news at any stage, is this coronavirus thing that's happening. Guys, you are going to have opportunities to have conversations with people about the coronavirus. But this is a great opportunity to share God's covenant of protection. Amen? So you might have people say, oh, I'm concerned about this, or did you hear it's coming here, or it's this much here, or whatever. And we can kind of agree with that and say, yeah, ooh, it's spooky, spooky, or, I mean, say what you want, but there's an opportunity. I wouldn't use those words. Wow. There's an opportunity there if you have peace in your heart about it, and I do, praise the Lord. If you have some peace, there's an opportunity to say, you know what? Yeah, that thing is like spreading faster than I probably would have imagined. But one of the things that I've been able to have is just peace about it. And, you know, and however you would say it in your words, but we have a covenant of protection from our Heavenly Father that gives us peace in the midst of a storm. Do you know that Psalm 91 deals, there's part of the promises of the covenant in Psalm 91 that deals exactly with stuff just like the coronavirus? I'm not sure if you believe me. Let's read it right here in Psalms 91. We're going to pick it up in verses 3. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He'll cover you with his feathers. He'll shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Don't be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. And one of the things that has built up so much fear in people's hearts is they don't see this coming, right? It's like, oh, you know, well, I never went to China, or I never, you know, was with so-and-so that, you know, you whatever. And they have a fear that it just seems like it strikes at random, right? Well, that would be the disease that flies in the night. You know, there's a darkness that hides it. You don't know what's coming. Well, God's word covers that exact sort of thing. The disease that is unseen and hidden and seems to sneak up on you, we have a covenant of protection in Psalm 91. It tells us we don't have to fear that kind of thing. We don't have to be worried about it. We don't have to get wrapped up and concerned about it. And we have an opportunity to share that peace that we have with someone else. And that might be the seed that's planted that brings them to Christ. They might think about that. Really? Like, you don't have to be worried about that? I'm worried about that. Guys, there's going to be all kinds of, that's just one example, but there's all kinds of opportunities, and it's the Holy Spirit, again, that gives us the word. So we don't have to have, you know, we don't have to have a pre-planned script, right? It's not a bad idea to have the Romans Road, for example. You know what I do? I just Googled Romans Road, and it's a photo on my phone, and it's on the favorites. So if I ever, you know, I don't even have to try and remember the references. If I'm sharing the gospel with someone, and I feel led to share that with them, I just go on my phone, and like, boom, it's right there, right? It's a resource. So God will, you know, there's times where he'll, you know, maybe we've thought about scriptures to share or things that, ways that we would share the gospel. I know my dad, for example, has a few favorite illustrations that he likes to use and stories that he likes to use when he's sharing the gospel. And God's just really, it's anointed, and I've seen him lead someone. I've been there with him when he's led someone to Christ using some of those illustrations. And so it's going to be different for each of us. There's no, this is the only way to do it. But the Holy Spirit is going to help you share the good news if you're willing to swing the bat. Amen? If you're going to willing to recognize that he's calling you up to the plate, first of all, and then just willing to swing that bat, and the Lord will make the connection for you. Luke 12:12, this is in the Passion Translation. Simply be confident and allow the Spirit of wisdom access to your heart, and he will reveal in that very moment what you are to say to them. You don't even have to know beforehand. If you're willing to be used by the Lord and step out in faith, because we live by faith, right? So how does faith apply to this? Faith applies to this in that we don't know what to say, but we're still willing to go out and start opening our mouth and start talking, and the Lord gives you the words to say as you're speaking. That's how faith plays into this. And that can be, admittedly, that can be a little nerve-wracking, right? That can be, but guys, there's times where we have to do it in life, probably not even sharing the gospel. Sometimes you're like, boom, you're in a conversation, you just have to start talking, you just have to kind of think on the fly. Well, the Lord helps us, especially in these conversations where we're sharing the news, the good news, where we're sharing the gospel. He partners with us. Actually, we're partnering with him. And he'll give you the words to say, the right words in that moment. And we can have confidence of that. And we might be planting a seed. We might be preparing ground. We might be watering someone else's seed. But we're helping that process and bringing that seed to a harvest. The other thing that I want to encourage you with is that salvation can take place at any time. When we're sharing the gospel, sometimes we can think, well, I've never had a conversation like this with this person before, you know. This is the first time. Well, we don't know, first of all, what seeds have been planted in their lives, and we don't know how the Lord has been preparing their heart and working on them. So we never want to have the assumption that, you know, well, I'm going to go in there and plant a seed, but that's all I'm doing today is planting a seed. You know what? You might be planting a seed and watering it and reaping it in the same conversation, in the same moment, over that same coffee break or lunch break or whenever it is that you're sharing the gospel. I had an opportunity where the Lord, you know, basically did this for me. And I think I've shared this story with you. And this happened to me a couple years ago when I was helping out with bear guiding with our friend Barry over in Saskatchewan. And so there's some hunters from the U.S., and this particular gentleman was from Florida. And I had spent some time with him that week, but there was zero spiritual conversation. Like, we're just talking about hunting, and he was really into fishing as well. And he likes, you know, because he's in Florida, he did a lot of ocean fishing. And so, you know, he's just telling me all about that. And, I found it interesting. But there was no spiritual component of the conversation. They knew I was a minister. They knew that was my real job. It wasn't a bear guide. Of course, it probably was clear from my bear guiding that I wasn't a bear guide. But it worked out. Basically just a chauffeur to drive people around in a quad, so it's not too bad. But at the very last day, and I think the Lord was using Barry to help set it up, because we had to go, and this gentleman had already shot his bear, and so, but you have to still keep doing things with these hunters, and you want to give them just a welcoming experience and a fun time, even if they've already harvested their animal. And so Barry says, well, go check these, you know, three baits, and they're like the farthest ones away from Barry's house. And then he told me to take this mule, Kawasaki mule, it's like a big side-by-side, but this thing is not fast. If you've ever owned a Kawasaki mule, it's like a work side-by-side, right? So I think the top speed is like 40 kilometers an hour. I'm like, seriously, Barry, you want me to take the mule? I said, this would take us like 3 hours. He's like, that's exactly what I want. You know, it's like he's like, we need to occupy this guy's afternoon, right? So like, take the mule. Fine. So you know what? But the beautiful thing about taking the mule is, first of all, it's a lot quieter because we're going a lot slow, so we could actually have a conversation. And as this guy started to unpack and share his life, the Lord just laid it out. It was just an opportunity that I was able to just walk into. Didn't think about it beforehand, but you know, I recognized suddenly there's an opportunity in front of me, and the Lord's wanting me to come up to the plate and swing the bat. And so I was able to do that and lead this guy to the Lord while riding. You know, we stopped at the point where he was willing to pray. We actually stopped beside the road, and he prayed to receive the Lord. But it was nothing that I did. The Lord just set it up, but I was willing to swing the bat at the right moment. And that was planting the seed and watering it and reaping a harvest, all in a space of about an hour and a half, or even a little bit less, really close together. And so we never want to assume that when God calls us to plant a seed, we might reap a harvest that very same day. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 says, As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. God helped me, and God also helped this gentleman as well. And on that day, today was the day of salvation. And when I woke up in the morning, I had no idea that was what was going to happen that day. And he certainly didn't as well. But today was the day of salvation. And so never think just because you planted a seed yesterday that you won't harvest it today. Because I believe that we're in an age, the Lord was speaking to me this about last night as I was just pondering this word, that I believe that we're in a time of accelerated harvest. We're in a time of this process maybe has taken longer at some times. We're in a spiritual time right now where the Lord is looking to accelerate this and do this quicker if we're willing to step up and swing that bat and then and recognize and have spiritual eyes and ears to see how these people are and how the people we're sharing with, how they're responding. This can happen much quicker than we might think is possible. And there's a neat story. I was reading an article by Brother Rick Renner, and maybe some of you have maybe have heard about this illustration, you know, if you've read some of his books. But he pulled something out of an illustration or a story in Jesus' life that I didn't see before that really emphasizes this principle of the time is now. Today is the day of salvation. And even then, a time of accelerated harvest. And so we're going to just spend a few minutes reading this story and talking about it. So this is in John chapter 4. And I'm going to read you a verse from the very end of this story, and then we'll work our way back a little bit. John 4:35, Jesus says to his disciples, "You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest." You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. And so I actually titled my sermon, The New Rules of Harvest, because we're in a time where there's new rules of harvest, and we don't have to wait 4 months anymore. So when Jesus spoke those words, what was happening is he was outside a Samaritan city, and it was called Sychar, and they hadn't been, there's no record of Jesus and his disciples visiting Samaria before this. The disciples had gone to the village to find food, and this was Jesus and the woman at the well story. You guys familiar with that story? And so he asked her for a drink, and she said, "Well, I'm a Samaritan woman. Why would you ask me for a drink?" And if we know the history between the Jewish people and the Samaritan people, they did not get along. There was lots of enmity between them, right? And the Jews worshipped in one place, and the Samaritans worshipped in another. And they did not get along. They were kind of like, in some ways, maybe the Jewish and Muslim people. Although the difference was the Samaritan people, they actually did worship God. They did worship the true God. But there was like that kind of tension in the Middle East back then between these people groups. They were really opposed. But Jesus showed great compassion to her and great honor and respect by asking her for drink. And one of the things that did was that totally opened up her heart. What was he doing when he asked her for a drink? He was preparing ground, right? And then he had a whole conversation where he said some things that really kind of twigged her thinking. First of all, he told her, "I'm living water, and so if I have living water. If you take of the water that I give, you'll never thirst again." And she's never heard of having a drink and then never having to thirst again. And so her thinking, you know, she's kind of sitting back and like, man, this guy's saying some really neat things. And then Jesus gets a word of knowledge, and he asked her to go bring her husband. Now, when he said that, he knew full well she didn't have a husband. And so she responds, and she opens up, and she's honest. She says, "You're right, I don't." Jesus says, "Well, you're not married to the one you're with right now. You've actually had 5 husbands, haven't you?" And he just has a word of knowledge that just totally opens her up to the gospel. And so he has this conversation with her, and all through it, he's treating her with her with a level of dignity and compassion and respect that she's probably never experienced from a Jewish person before. And so it totally opens up her life to the gospel. So here's what happens after that whole conversation of the woman at the well. Then this is in John 4:28. "The woman left her water jug beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?' So the people came streaming from the village to see him." So, you know, this woman probably said even more than those words. The Apostle John is probably kind of summarizing what she said. But whatever she said, they responded. The whole village, like, "Whoa, we got to come meet this guy." And so the word tells us that the people came streaming out to see him. It's interesting that Jesus planted a seed and he watered it, and he's getting ready to reap a harvest all in the same day, right? And so that's why he starts talking that conversation with his disciples about 4 months later on, because he sowed that seed, and just minutes later, he's not only going to reap a harvest in the life of this lady that he spoke to, but there's other people coming And there's going to be a harvest there as well, too. And they haven't even had a chance to hear him yet, but he knows what's coming. And so I believe as he's, you know, as he's speaking, because he talks about looking out into the fields, and Jesus is obviously near some fields. He's obviously near some grain. And he had a viewpoint that enabled him to see the people coming. Now, it's interesting that I don't believe this. The disciples were somehow, they were unaware that the village was and the people were streaming towards them, because Jesus had to draw their attention to it. What happened in Mark 4:31? The disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." And then Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about." So Jesus is sitting there, and he's seeing the people coming, and the disciples are just wanting him to eat, right? So maybe they had ordered his favorite food, I don't know. Like, and you know, I can just imagine they're like, we got exactly what he wants. It's the thing that he loves. Why is he not eating it? And Jesus is already, his mind is not on the food at all. He's seeing these people coming, and he's getting ready because he knows that they're going to reap a spiritual harvest. And so in verse 33, "Did someone bring him food while we were gone?" the disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest." So Jesus is saying, guys, look around. Now, he wasn't talking again about the actual fields. We know that. He was saying, look around. There's a harvest of souls. There's a harvest of people coming toward us right now. We need to get ready for it. Now, naturally speaking, without the help of the Holy Spirit, it might have taken a long, you know, this woman might have gone home and like had to think about it. But man, when Jesus was willing and partnered with the Holy Spirit, there was a powerful lesson that he was going to show his disciples here, is that harvest can take place in a matter of minutes or maybe just a few hours. We don't know how long that he was talking with the woman at the well. We don't know how long it took them to go buy food. It might have taken a couple hours. We're not sure, but we're talking not a very long period of time from sowing that very first seed into the heart of this Samaritan woman. And not only is she coming to Jesus, but a whole bunch of other people are going to respond to the gospel as well. It's now time to reap. And so as the crowd approached Jesus, he was going to, now he has to prepare his disciples because he wants to involve them in the process. And there's another lesson here as well. So this is John, or still in John 4, now we're at verse 36. "The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants and another harvests, and it's true." So the disciples weren't involved with planting the seed, were they? They were off, you know, at the grocery store in the village, or I don't, you know, I have no idea how they got food in the village, but they were off buying food in the village. They were focused on that. And here's Jesus with the woman at the well, and he's the one planting the seed, and then he's the one watering it. But now it's time, and they need to get ready for harvest. And Jesus is saying, guys, I need your help. We're going to do this together. One plants, and another one gets to harvest. And so Jesus is saying, you know, I want you guys to be involved in this. Even though you weren't involved with the planting, you're going to be involved in the harvesting. And there's a lesson there for us, is that oftentimes we will have the opportunity, if we're obedient to the Holy Spirit, if we have our ear to the ground and our spiritual ears open, we're going to have the opportunity maybe to be involved in a harvest where we had nothing to do with the planting or the watering. But that's all right, because harvesting and reaping always requires more workers than sowing, doesn't it? Now, this is very true back then, especially when they were just, you know, one person could sow a whole field by themselves. They would have their bag of seed, and they would walk, and they would scatter that whole seed. I even think, you know, that second piece of grass that I was talking about, I did borrow a seeder from Bob, but then there were some bare spots afterwards, so I kind of got experience that a little bit, reaching to a seed bag and kind of using my hands to scatter seed. But it's actually surprising how much seed you can spread even by hand in just a short period of time. But if you're getting ready to harvest a crop, it's going to require a lot more labor and a lot more workers to bring in that harvest, even though it took one person to plant a seed. Harvesting and reaping always requires more workers than sowing. And so Jesus had sown the seed while his disciples were looking for food, and now they get to take part in a harvest where they had no part in the sowing, but they get the joy and the pleasure and the honor of bringing in a harvest of souls along with Jesus. So in Luke 10:2, this is, again, another agricultural illustration of Jesus. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. This is the verse that we started with. Pray to the Lord, who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers. Again, why do we need more workers? Well, harvest always requires more workers. But there's a joy that comes in being able to partner with others, even if we haven't been the ones who planted this seed. Because God needs us all to come together and bring in the harvest in his kingdom. And so there's a couple lessons there. The first thing is, don't say, well, I'm planting a seed or I'm watering a seed, but the harvest is a long way off, because the harvest can happen quickly. The harvest can happen in minutes. The harvest can happen in a moment when someone is ready to receive the word of God. Amen. And so we don't want to ever second guess and say, well, they're just going to have to sit on this for a while. If the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart and you feel led to ask that question, well, would you like to respond to Jesus today? Is that a decision that you'd like to make today to follow Jesus? Don't be afraid to ask that question, even if you've just planted the seed. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, then today is the day of salvation. Amen? And something else I want to say here is, be thankful if someone else has the opportunity to harvest a seed that you planted. And maybe you weren't around for the harvest. Has anyone ever had that happen to them? You know, that's sometimes, because we're human, and this is just the way humans are, it's possible we could think, no, I was the one who first told that person about Jesus. I should have been there to pray this prayer with them. You know what? They're into the kingdom, and that's what matters, right? And so we don't want to ever have that approach where we're, you know, like, wait, like it's not like they stole that soul from you, right? We all have a part to play. And when someone else maybe is the person who recognizes that, you know, this soul is ready to come to Jesus, and that happens and we're not even there and we hear about it, well, praise the Lord. They were able to harvest what we planted. There's going to be times where we'll harvest what someone else has planted, and that's totally fine, because we're partnered together in building the kingdom. Also recognize that a spiritual harvest comes more quickly than natural harvests. So that's probably the biggest takeaway that I want to leave with you guys today, is recognize that in the Spirit, we don't have to wait 4 months. Things can happen quickly. Things can happen in a moment when we're obedient to listen to the Holy Spirit. One more verse I want to share with you guys. I should have a few more verses. Never mind. Didn't think I was done yet. This is another verse that the Lord, this concept of, in the natural, how many harvest seasons do we have here for grain and the crops of Swan River Valley? Just the one harvest, right? It comes in, well, sometimes it comes in August. Usually it comes in September. And, if you're a little bit late, maybe you're harvesting in October. And if you're really late, which my friend Owen was a few years back, he was combining in November, very early November. You don't want to be often combining in November. But there's one harvest season. In the kingdom of God, harvest can happen, as we talked about, anytime. This is why, you know, as I was thinking about that, the Lord reminded me of a verse in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. There's no in season for sharing the gospel. The harvest can be available anytime, right? And we can have multiple harvests in the same year. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and teaching. But the first part of that, preach the word, that's sharing the gospel. We want to be ready in season and out of season, at a moment's notice, at any time, to plant a seed, to water it, and to bear a harvest. So here's what happened now with Jesus and his disciples. We're going to just finish off the story in John 4:39. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. So they were passing through this village, but things changed once they had this harvest of souls. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to this woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. When you share a seed with someone else, you have no idea who they might talk to and who else might hear the message of the good news, right? We have no idea what's going to happen. when we're willing to just be obedient and share a seed. So here we have all kinds of, there's people that immediately responded when they went out to see Jesus, but that wasn't all of it. When they stayed for two more days, then more people believed on top of that. Praise God. So it was just a tremendous harvest of souls just from this one woman meeting Jesus at the well, Jesus willing to prepare her heart, open her up to the things of the gospel, and then her response brought a whole village to Christ. An amazing story. The seed that you plant might be the seed that brings a whole bunch of people, a whole group of people to Jesus, and you just have no idea what the Lord might do. So we want to be willing, amen? One last verse. This is in John's 12, 23, 27. This is the one that the Lord showed me this morning. Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for this life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me." We'll just stop right there. Let's stand as we talk about this verse. We're going to end off right away here. The Lord's been speaking to me about this verse. I've just been having some thoughts about my life and some of the ways that he's called me to perhaps lay down some things and have a greater focus on sharing the gospel and the ways that he might want me to share the word. And it's interesting, because one of the thoughts that I had in my mind was, well, if I was to do that thing, I might have less time for this, or it might pull me away from this or this other thing. And then the Lord just led me to the scripture this morning. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for this life in this world will keep it for eternity. Now, we're not talking about just throwing away our lives and have nothing to do with the people and the places and the things that the Lord has brought into our lives. We're talking about the significance that we give to parts of our lives, and also the significance that we see in the harvest of souls around us. The Lord's been speaking to me about ways that I might be able to make myself more available, love some things a little bit less, to be more available to share the gospel with others, more available to perhaps serve and sacrifice in some ways. And that's planting a seed in the ground. Now, we know with this verse, Jesus is obviously talking about himself, right? He was the seed who was being planted in the ground to bring in a whole harvest of souls. You and I are here today because Jesus planted himself in the ground. And everyone who's come to Christ since his death, burial, and resurrection is part of that harvest. Amen? But I believe the Lord also asks us, are we willing to be a seed? Where are we willing to be planted? Where are the ways where he might call us to lay something down so we can be planted and reap a harvest in a place where we might not have seen it coming, we may not have seen that opportunity before, but if we're open to the Holy Spirit, he'll give us opportunities, he'll show us ways where we can lay some things aside, make ourselves a little bit more available, and be willing to plant a seed in someone else's life. And it's our seed. It's the Spirit of God in us. It's what he's showing us. It's the good news. It's the joy. It's the kingdom of God. It's the peace, righteousness, peace, and joy that we have in our hearts. That's what we're planting, right? And every seed produces after its kinds. We plant the Spirit of God. We plant the kingdom of God. We can have full confidence. It's going to produce kingdom seed in their lives. Praise God. Are you willing to be a seed? And are you willing to recognize the Lord will bring a harvest much quicker? He can bring a harvest much quicker than you would imagine. It's the new rules of harvest. Today is the day of salvation. Don't have to wait 4 months anymore. If we're willing to be ready in season and out of season, the Lord will use us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching from your word. We thank you how you showed your disciples so many years ago, thousands of years ago, that we don't have to wait for only one season and one harvest, and there doesn't have to be 4 months between planting a seed and reaping a harvest. But Lord, you can do it quickly. You can do it in a moment. And so we as a church, we respond to you, Holy Spirit. We say that we are willing to be used by you. We are willing to lay things down and make time and make ourselves available to be a seed planted in someone's heart. to see the Word of God grow in their spirit, take root, and reap a spiritual harvest of salvation, a spiritual harvest of eternal significance in their lives. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you do the work, that we don't have to feel any pressure. We don't have to feel fear or intimidation or any of these things, because you're just asking us to stand at the plate, swing the bat, and let you do the work, Lord. We thank you that you are the one who does the work, Lord. But we have the opportunity to partner with you as we listen to you, Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, in these days and weeks ahead, Lord, we thank you that you are going to bring opportunities across our path to plant seeds, to water seeds. But even greater than that, we believe that you're bringing us opportunities to bring in the harvest, Lord. And so we recognize when you're asking us to plant a seed. We recognize when you're calling us to water. And we recognize when you're asking us to take a moment to step back and spend time with someone to bring in their soul, to bring in their life into the kingdom of God, Lord. We thank you that you choose to use us, and we are willing to be used by you, Lord. We learn how we are the ones who decide if we're chosen. So we declare, Lord, we are the chosen ones. You're choosing us, and you're using us, and you will bring in a harvest through us. We thank you, Lord, that you do this. Lord, for this week coming up, we thank you, Lord, that you have favor lined up for us. You have supernatural opportunities. You have divine protection for us. You have opportunities where we will experience your goodness in our lives. And we look forward to it with grateful hearts, expectant hearts to all that you're doing. We cover all these things as we pray in faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just a reminder, we have the meeting coming up. If you'd like to be involved in our Easter outreach that we're getting ready to plan right now, I want to remind you guys or highlight, this is especially a good opportunity. If you don't serve on a team at Solid Rock, if you're not tied in any sort of team, this is a good one.